Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We would like to begin our meeting. This is a meeting of the Accessibility Advisory Council. Today is Monday, September the 24th of 2018, and it is 2 p.m. We would like to begin by calling roll. I would like to remind you to please be mindful of any background noise, any typing, windows down if you're driving. Everything is picked up and amplified over the intercom system and does interrupt the conversations. Let's begin by calling roll. Council members, if you would answer by saying here. Joe Delvecchio. Joe Delvecchio. Jim Woolihan. Beth Meyer.
Here.
Thank you. Paul Martell.
Here.
Thank you. Lois Darlene Leibel Crow. Paul Edward Vixney. We also have on the line today Allison Klein, who will be a new member beginning on October the 1st. Allison, are you with us?
I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Let's ask the other names of those who did not respond to roll call. Joe Delvecchio. Jim Woolihan. Paul Vixney. And Darlene, I believe you responded with a response unit. Darlene? We do not have a quorum. Let's hold for one moment and give others a chance to log in, please.
Background from Steve Bernard.
Okay.
We have one person?
We have two. We need three.
I see you.
Steve Bernard. Okay.
Go ahead.
Mr. Bernard, we are receiving some background noise from your line. If you could please be mindful of what's going on around you. Our lines are picking it up and interfering with the call. One moment. Somebody?
We don't have
the recording on.
Paul.
Hey, Chip Sellers, go to the signers. Hey, are you going to be able to call in with me?
Is anyone new join that you can see? Okay.
Doctor's appointment.
they don't, then you can just do what each is advised, what they advise and evidence it. So we don't have to wait forever. You don't need a quorum to do it. So.
Okay. But we do for the rest of the meeting.
No. You don't need a quorum to do any of this.
No, no, you don't.
We don't?
No.
Okay.
So we'll just take them up and we'll get what Ms. Meyer wants to do and who else is on the line.
Yeah.
Mr. Delvecchio is on the line.
No. Paul Marcel.
So we'll get what Meyer wants to do and then what Paul wants to do and then you can just move on.
Okay.
But just wait for Chip to come back.
I will. Ladies and gentlemen, just one more moment, please. Thank you very much for your patience.
All right.
Right?
You didn't hear anything. All right, then we'll start.
Okay.
I'll call them.
Thank you. At this point, we do not have a quorum, but we've been advised that we can move ahead with the meeting. Ms. Meyer and Mr. Martel, we will look to you for a motion and to respond to the cases that are presented to you today. Let's begin by reviewing who's in the room today. I'm Marlita Peters, and I'll help facilitate your meeting.
Mo Madani.
Justin Vogel.
Tom Campbell.
Chip Sellers.
Jim Hammers.
Thank you. And do we have any staff on the line?
Yes, Marlita, this is Chris. I'm on the line.
Thank you. And I believe we have Robert Bimbo on the line as well. Any other staff? Do we have any guests on the line?
Brad Schiffer is on the call.
Brad Schiffer, thank you.
Larry Schneider.
Larry Schneider, thank you. I'm sorry, did not hear you, ma'am.
Item two.
Okay.
Joe Belcher,
thank you. Any other guests?
My name is Steve Bernard, item four.
Steve Bernard, item four. Thank you. Any other guest?
Alex Davis, item four.
I'm sorry, did not hear you. Ma'am?
Holly Blaze, item three.
Item three.
Right. Any other guest? Hearing none. Council members, we would like to get your approval of the agenda as posted if there are no recommended changes.
Paul Martel, so moved.
Thank you. Ms. Meyer, second. And then you are in favor of that, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Beth, are you still there?
I'm sorry. Yes, I am. I'm sorry. I said that.
Thank you. Now we hear you.
All right.
Okay. Next, we'd like to approve the previous minutes of Thursday, July the 26th of 2018, if there are no recommended changes. Ms. Meyer?
I move to accept the minutes as posted.
Thank you. Ms. Meyer? Second?
Second.
Our first item on the agenda is to an introduction of new members and staff and to go over the format of the staff analysis of waiver applications. Mr. Madani?
Yeah. Jim, if you would click on presentation. This afternoon, I'm going to go over a short presentation to mainly cover a review for the statute 553.5-12, which authorized the commission to grant waiver from the Florida specific requirements, and also go over the grounds for approval and the format for the staff analysis. Florida Statute 553.5-12 established the criteria for granting waivers and strictly limit the granting a waiver to those Florida-specific requirements that align with Florida law, and also they are incorporated into the Florida Accessibility Code. Normally, they're shaded in gray. And as you know, the Florida Accessibility Code that we are using now is the sixth edition, 2017 Florida Building Code Accessibility, which is also called the 2012 the Florida Accessibility Code for Building Construction. The basis of granting a waiver, as established by Florida Statute 553.512, is the determination of unnecessary, unreasonable, or extreme hardship. Also, the law states that the Florida Building Commission mainly have the authority to waive a Florida-specific requirement down to an ADA requirement. So the Florida Accessibility Code, the Florida Building Commission has no authority to waive an ADA requirement. Again, as you know, the Florida Accessibility Code, majority of it, consists of the 2010 ADA, and within it there's Florida-specific requirement. Also, the Florida statute states that if an applicant for a waiver demonstrates economic hardship in accordance with 28 CFR section 36.403(f)(1), a waiver shall be granted, and we'll go over this shortly. So the grounds for approval of a waiver is first, economic hardship; second, historic nature; third, technical infeasibility. With regard to the economic hardship, Jim, I'm sorry, yeah. With regard to the economic hardship, that is tied to the standards for disproportionate cost, which is the 20% rule. Under the Florida Accessibility Code, for alteration of an existing building, an element that or space that's altered are required to meet the accessibility code. In addition to that, the code required that the accessible path of travel is to the extent it is not disproportionate to the total cost must be also made accessible. The code defined a disproportionate as exceeding 20% of the total cost of alteration to the primary function area, and the 20% mainly cost those to be used to make path of travel for the existing building accessible to the extent feasible, including accessible route to the primary function area from the site arrival point, entrances and retrofits to the restroom, telephones and drinking fountains. So for economic hardship, the first question we ask when somebody submit a request for a waiver, does the cost of providing vertical accessibility meet or exceed 20% of the cost of alteration to the primary function area? This is when somebody is asking that be granted waivers from the vertical accessibility requirements of the Florida Accessibility Code, which required that all levels must be vertically accessible. So if the 20% threshold met, the waiver shall be granted. So if it's so in this case, if providing vertical accessibility, let's say an elevator, the cost of it will exceed the 20% of the cost of alteration to the primary function area, then the commission is required to grant the waiver. This does not apply to new construction. So the 20% rule only applies to existing building that being altered. The second ground for approval of a waiver is historic nature, historic facility. These facilities are defined in the code as building or facility that are listed in qualified for listing in the National Register of Historic Places or designated as historic under appropriate state or local law. Consideration mainly is situations where compliance with the standard would threaten or destroy the historic integrity or significance of a facility as determined by the appropriate authority having jurisdiction. So for historic nature, first thing we ask, has the applicant provided documentation of the historic significance of the building? So we look in the application, we look for documentation that show that this building is historic. That means it's listed as being historic buildings. Would the historic significance of the structure be negatively impacted by the alteration? Alteration applicant would have to make to provide accessibility. Again, for this, we'll be looking for a letter from the Department of State stating the fact that the structure, in this case, if altered, will negatively be impacted or the historic significance will be impacted for this building. Also, under this same historic nature criteria, somebody can also combine or provide justification for technical infeasibility, which mainly has to do with the fact that maybe the building is structurally not capable of accommodating an elevator or vertical accessibility. The other thing is, could be an economic hardship test, which is the 20% rule, could also be included as part of the justification or request for the waiver in this case. Technical infeasibility is determination requires a site-specific assessment of constraints or complications that prohibit compliance. As it stated here, that means you have some kind of a structural limitation or there's a code requirement that will make providing for an accessible element not feasible or impossible. Example include work that impacts a facility's structural frame or that would conflict with the applicable code or building requirements. So technical infeasibility. First, we ask, is the structure built in a way that would otherwise places unnecessary, unreasonable, or extreme hardship on the applicant if they were required to provide accessibility? And normally, we look for a very clear justification on this if from the applicant. And normally, we look also for a technical documentation if from a licensed design professional, to show that there is a truly technical limitations that would prohibit incorporating such accessibility features in the building. And also we look at would providing accessibility it would require that the building owner rebuild, demolish, encroach on property lines, etc. The staff analysis for reviewing the applications also utilize those three criteria: economic hardship, historic nature, and technical infeasibility. So the format start with as you see. Also, we have which we will go over with regard to the application before you. First, the format you provide for the issue. Is vertical accessibility, for example, to the second floor. A project type, is an alteration to existing office, for example. A project progress, it's in plans review or in new constructions, etc. Compliance estimate, how much money spent for making the building spaces or rooms or accessible. Project construction cost, mainly cost of alteration. It could be, include the cost of alteration to the primary function area, etc. Analysis, the staff then, based on the information provided, formulate as either do calculation or formulate mainly the basis for a recommendation. Uploaded documents, we will list to you also what has been uploaded as a technical documentation for the waiver, plans, construction costs, cost of compliance, letter from the Department of State, etc. Staff recommendation, staff will provide you also with a recommendation that you can consider. Item to be waived. Motions, we normally after staff review the analysis and also comment is obtained from the applicants and so on, staff or the facilitator would ask for mainly a motion. And a motion could be first, I move to recommend that for the Building Commission approve this request for waiver on the ground of could be economic hardship, historic nature, technical infeasibility. Also, you have the option to say, I move to recommend that the Florida Building Commission deny this application and no rationale in this case necessary. You could also say, I move to recommend that the Florida Building Commission defer this request for waiver to the next meeting of the council and the commission for the purpose of allowing the applicant maybe to provide additional information or to the building or contact the building official, etc. Council meetings in terms of agenda and information are normally housed on our website and will be under the calendar. For that specific date of the meeting, you will be able to go to the agenda and review the backup documentation. Also, you should be able to review a waiver request by going into our website, the building code information system, and click on accessibility. And that should allow you also to access a waiver applications for review. Any questions?
Council members? Anyone from the public? Go ahead, please. Anyone from the public?
A couple questions.
Is that Paul?
Yes, yes, excuse me. A couple questions. So the meetings are on the website that you've identified here on the front page. The calendar is there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's where you go if you want to find out the agenda and find the agenda and the backup documentation for the meeting.
Is there any other technical assistance documents provided to council members, i.e. maybe the most recent Florida accessibility code?
They're available online, but let me look and see if we can provide you with a complimentary copy. Let me check on that and see what we have available. No problem.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions, either council member or anyone from the public? Hearing none, we'll move ahead with the review of our applications. Because we, well, let's ask, do we have any other council members on the line who have joined us in the last few minutes? Joe Delvecchio, Jim Woolihan, or Paul Vixney? Darlene Liable Crow. Okay, we'll move ahead. And Ms. Meyer and Mr. Martell, since we do not have a quorum, we will not need to take a vote today, but we will take your opinion. Is that correct?
Yeah, we'll take a vote. It'll just be a recommendation.
Yeah.
A recommendation.
Individual.
Okay. Individual. Let's begin with number one. This is 1233 Collins. Chip?
Waiver number 330. The issue is vertical accessibility of the second floor. Project type is historical preservation alteration. Project progress is in plan review. Compliance estimate and amount spent on accessible features is $5,000. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the second floor of an existing two-story, 7,311 square foot historic apartment building, and from providing an accessible ramp to the front door stoops at all three access points. The project consists of a change of use from apartment to a hotel occupancy. According to the applicant, the only construction cost for the project is $5,000 to modify Unit 4 to have an ADA-compliant shower and to relocate the bed from the second floor loft area to the ground floor of the unit. The applicant has provided a letter from the Florida Department of State, which states that after review of the information which has submitted to their office for review, the Bureau of Historic Preservation concurs that the construction necessary to provide 1233 Collins Avenue full ADA vertical access will cause adverse effect upon the historic fabric of this property. Additionally, it is their understanding that other issues relating to these proposed solutions, such as technical infeasibility, disproportionate cost, or other code issues, as well as final accessibility waivers, shall be addressed locally. Furthermore, the applicant has provided a letter from Chief of Historic Preservation with the City of Miami Beach Planning Department, which states that in order to accommodate vertical accessibility, substantial modifications to the historic building would be required, and such interventions would irreparably harm the very significant style and configuration of the subject structure. The letter also states that the Planning Department, on behalf of Miami Beach Historic Preservation Board, strongly supports the subject waiver request. The applicant alleges the hardship is caused by the historic nature of the building. Staff recommendation has provided sufficient historical documentation for the subject property. Staff recommends granting the request for a waiver on the grounds of historic nature of the building. I was reading this waiver for Robert Benbow.
Do we have anyone representing 1233 Collins on the line? Hearing no one, council members, do you have any questions for Mr. Sellers?
What was the total amount that was being spent by the applicant?
$5,000.
$5,000?
Yeah. And that's to modify the ADA compliant shower and to relocate the bed from the second floor loft area to the ground floor.
So this was an apartment building and it's now becoming a hotel?
Yes, that is correct.
And they're only spending $5,000 total, and that's only for the ADA renovations?
That's what I was told.
Okay, well, I mean, that's probably, for me, a little hard to believe that in conversion of an apartment building to a hotel that that's the only money they're spending.
Yeah, this is Beth Meyer. So this is the only work being done on the entire facility. Is this the $5,000?
That's true. This is Mom and Donnie. That's normally if you're doing a change of use, especially when you're dealing with buildings that fall within the same type of use, which is R2 occupancy, this is from R2 to R1. That's really, it seems that's the only thing that they've done, which is really to make a change to one of the rooms for accessibility. Normally, if there's any other alteration, that will be triggered under change of occupancy chapter of the for the existing building code. But that's really what we've been given, is mainly the $5,000 that have been spent to do the alteration. Plus, this is a historic building that we have also a letter from the Department of State, which mainly make this fall under the exception in the Florida Accessibility Code. That means this building is not required to meet the accessibility requirements.
Council members, do you have any further questions?
Well, I guess it's hard for me to imagine, and I mean, the issue of vertical accessibility aside to the second floor, that, you know, it's just kind of hard for me to believe that they're only spending $5,000 in a conversion. I mean, you know, and it's great that they're going to make one of the bathrooms accessible, but and to be truthful, I've had no real time to look at this. I just got the information today, unless I missed the email. I don't know if there are pictures or anything to go along. Do you have any pictures to look at?
Yeah, there were a couple pictures, Paul, that were in the back. And the only question, and this is Beth Meyer, the only question I have is, so they are creating accessibility in this request. They're creating an accessible unit. We know how many units there are, and I apologize. What's the total amount of units that are here? I'm trying to understand
We're checking for you. One moment.
This project is to modify unit 4 to have, let's see, yes, provide the number of units, second floor, the applicant has provided the letter. Let's see.
When you get when the request is made, are you provided an overall budget for the changes that are being made?
Yes. Yeah, they are required to provide the cost of alteration. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, and we only can go with what's being provided and. But also, this is a historic building. There is a specific exemptions from within the code for buildings that declared by the Department of State, and especially when you have a justification for that the alteration to meet the accessibility code will threaten the significance of the historic nature of the building. So that's really the strong justification for this recommendation, is that it's a historic building.
So what am I looking at here? Is this like the only entrance, or?
Yeah, that's the entrance of the building.
So how did somebody even in a wheelchair even get in that building, I guess?
Again, that's more of a, we are dealing with historic buildings that it has a certain treatment, special treatments, because of the fact it's, you know, there is an exemption for it under the Florida Accessibility Code. There is nothing really, you have the option to accept the, you know, the request or staff recommendation, or send it for additional information, whatever. But at this point,
You're breaking up there. Sorry.
But the basis for the recommendation at this point is that it is a historic building.
Well, just a question in general. I mean, would that even amount of $5,000 trigger vertical accessibility? I mean,
no.
It doesn't seem to me that that amount would even, you would even start to, I know you, you have to.
Period, what call it?
It is truly, it does not, but that's not how the application were applied for. Not based on hardship, it was applied for based on the historic nature of the building. So that's all what we can really address at this point.
But them pulling a permit, what causes that to bring in the vertical accessibility issue? That's why it was brought up.
Regardless of how much it was.
Yeah, regardless of the cost, them getting a permit to redo that bathroom would trigger the vertical accessibility issue.
Okay.
How many still? Are you still checking on how many units
are? This is him, please.
This is Beth Myers. Yeah, I don't say if the application is state, how many units does. I'm sorry.
This is Larry Schneider. Can you let us know when the public can speak on this?
In just a moment,
sure,
Larry.
Sure. Two floors.
I mean, it may not be more than
four units.
Maybe 4 units, yeah.
With the 7,311 square feet.
Okay.
Council members, do you have any further questions before we go to the public?
No.
Mr. Schneider?
Thank you very much. One, I don't think it's more than 4 units. What they're saying is they're modifying unit number 4. And I think what's missing that would help the council really understand this is a site plan / floor plan of the first floor, which is not presented. And if you look at the pictures, that interior space looks a lot of contemporary. And I understand what they're talking about is the exterior access to the space. But I think for the council members to fully understand what's going on, there appears to be needing a site plan and that floor plan that would help describe and provide valuable information to anyone trying to evaluate this waiver.
And I guess just my question, I mean, it seems to me almost strange that they're doing the wheelchair user can't even get in there, so I know that there's a requirement for them to make other elements of the property accessible, but I guess I'm kind of, nobody who uses a chair is going to be able to get in anyways.
Beth, it's difficult to hear you. You've got some interference on the line.
Okay, let me see if this talks a little bit. So the floor plan, what Larry Schneider spoke to of the first floor, just a site plan, that would be very helpful because you're looking at a very contemporary building, very contemporary, who's asking for historic, designation, and is not you know, and then I don't know how many units there are. I don't know that that would need to even matter, but I would like to research that. And then in addition to that, the historic preservation and alteration of it looks like one of the most contemporary buildings I've ever seen. I'm trying to understand, you know, how this building is laid out. I don't understand that.
So you have the options. Council members, you have the options. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to request more information so that we can review this properly, because I don't feel like we're providing anyone justice when we just need some more documentation. And I would ask to maybe postpone this presentation until we have the appropriate site plan.
Would you like to make that a motion to defer to the next meeting?
Yes, ma'am. I am motioning to defer to the next meeting until we have additional documentation.
And that would include the site plan and number of units?
Yes. Yeah.
And additional photographs, if possible, please. I thought I heard during the presentation that there were additional entrances. Is that correct?
We're reviewing the notes.
Madam Chair, this is Larry Schneider. When I have the opportunity, please. Thank you.
One moment, please.
It says the applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the second floor of an existing two-story, 7,311-square-foot historic apartment building, and from providing an accessible ramp to the front door stoops at all three access points.
Okay.
So there are three accesses, three entrances. If you're both in agreement, Mr. Schneider, you would like to have the floor for a moment?
Just reading the letter from the City of Miami Beach Historical Preservation Officer, in the main bulk of the paragraph, they're recommending the waiver for the second floor. They're not mentioning anything about access at the front door to get you into the space, but access, they're recommending the waiver from the second floor, and that's their comment.
Thank you, Mr. Schneider. Ms. Meyer, does that answer any questions for you, and do you want to stay with your motion to defer?
I want to stay to my motion to defer until we have additional information.
Thank you. Mr. Martell, you
I concur.
Thank you. Vote. Okay. Thank you. We'll move to number 2, 8143 Harding Suite, and I believe that we have the representative on the line for 8143 Harding.
Yes, go ahead.
And what is your name again, please?
My name is Maddie Cardenas. I am the architect of record.
I'm sorry, we're having difficulty understanding. Can you spell your name for us?
N-A-L-Y, last name B-A-R-D-E-N-A-S.
B-A-R-D-T?
D-E-N-A-S. I apologize for my voice. I have laryngitis, but I just thought it'd be important for me to be here.
I'm so sorry to ask you to repeat it again. If you can state your last name one time for us.
Cardenas.
It's right there.
Cardenas, thank you very much. Would you like to make any comments before we do the staff analysis?
No, ma'am. Basically, I'm here if you have any questions after the analysis.
Thank you. Mr. Sellers?
8143 Harding Suites Hotel, waiver number 347. Issue vertical accessibility to second and third floors. Project type is alteration to existing building or facility. Project progress under design. Compliance estimate and amount spent on accessible features is $382,544. Project construction costs and construction over the past 3 years is $1,397,240. Economic threshold is at 27%. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the second and third floors of a hotel with 7,515 square feet. Each unit has multi levels. The applicant is converting the 6 units from a condominium to a suite hotel. The proposed changes include altering the interior layout of Unit 1 to include an ADA accessible bathroom, an ADA accessible kitchen, altering the doors within the first floor of the unit to meet the clearance requirements, provide vertical accessibility to the first floor of the unit through a lift, and provide a greeting vestibule. The project cost is $157,440 for the alteration, and in the past 3 years, $1,300,000 was spent on construction for the building. They submitted an estimate of $337,375 and $322,344 for an elevator and work associated. The applicant stated that substantial financial costs will be incurred by the owner if the waiver is denied. Staff recommends granting the request for the waiver for vertical accessibility on the grounds of substantial financial costs.
Council members, do you have any questions?
So, excuse me, there's 6 units all together, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
And the accessible unit is, and there's only, is it 2 units per floor?
No, each unit is multi-level, so there are 6. Yes, you're right. All units have multi-level.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm not understanding that. You mean each unit has an up and down, upstairs and downstairs?
Correct. All units are entered through a stoop on the first floor. Some units have just a simple den, and then the rest of the unit happens on the second and third floor. So what we're proposing is that one of the units that has the kitchen and a bathroom and one of the bedrooms on the first floor, we're making that floor fully compliant with a lift that will take you directly to that unit, and that will be the one unit required per code to be accessible. So what we are requesting is that the other levels of that unit be granted accessibility, as well as the first floors of all the other units.
Any other questions, council members?
I do not.
Anyone from the public? Hearing none, council members, do you have a recommendation?
I move to recommend the Florida Building Commission that they approve the request for the waiver granted on the, I guess, the economic hardship. The one unit is going to be, and that I move for that. Sorry, I need to not digress from my move. So, but I move to recommend. Florida Building Commission, that the Florida Building Commission approved the request for the waiver.
Mr. Martel?
A second.
Thank you. We will move ahead to number 3, Mercury Buildings.
Mercury Buildings, waiver number 300. Vertical accessibility to the second floor. Project type is alteration to an existing building facility. Project progress and plan review. Compliance estimate and amount spent on accessible features is $55,691. Project construction cost and construction over the past 3 years is $7,860. The economic threshold is at 708%. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the second floor of two warehouses, buildings one and three, with total gross building area of 111,592 square feet. The alteration includes removing existing mezzanine in buildings one. Note, staff has been informed that the building owner decided not to demo the said mezzanine. Adding a ramp to building three and adding emergency and exit lighting and fire extinguishers to both buildings. The project cost is $20,715 for the alteration. They submitted an estimate of $42,836 and $48,500 for two platform lifts and work associated. The applicant stated that substantial financial costs will be incurred by the owner if the waiver is denied. Staff recommends granting the request for waiver for vertical accessibility on the grounds of substantial financial cost.
Thank you. We have someone on the line representing Mercury Buildings.
Yes, my name is Callie Blaze. I work for JA Architecture, the architect of record.
And Callie, state your last name, please, again.
Blaze.
Blaze. Would you like to make any comments?
No, not yet. Most just questions.
Thank you. Council members, do you have any questions?
What is the use of this building?
It is a warehouse that used to be owned by Mercury Luggage, and it's being repurposed to be a storage warehouse for that luggage that they're purchasing out of country now.
So it's basically individuals who access that are employees.
Ms. Meyer?
And is it open to the public at all, or is it only for storage of
Not to my knowledge. I believe it is just employee and ownership only.
Ms. Meyer, do you have any questions?
No, I do not.
Mr. Martell, any further questions?
No.
Thank you. Does anyone from the public wish to make a statement or ask questions?
Yes, this is Larry Schneider. If you look at the drawings and based upon the use of this, this definitely falls, it appears to fall under the exemption, under the existing Florida Accessibility Code in section 553-509 of the Florida statutes, not open to the public, and serves less than five people.
Correct. Our fire marshal's office just had a concern because it is over a certain percentage of the total building size for first floor that it's no longer considered a mezzanine. It is considered a second floor.
This is Paul Martell. I recommend that you grant the waiver.
Staff Meyer, I would second.
Thank you.
Could you state the grounds?
On what grounds, Mr. Martell?
Let's see. I've got to choose one of the three, I guess. Actually, it's going to be cost.
Economic hardship?
Yes.
Thank you. And Ms. Meyer, you agreed, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. We will move ahead to our last one, Lifehouse. Mr. Sellers.
Lifehouse, Miami Beach, waiver number 326. Issue is vertical accessibility of the lobby and second floor. Project type is historical preservation alteration. Project progress and plan review. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the second floor of a two-story historic hotel built in 1937 with 9,804 square feet. The project cost is $779,220.08 for the alteration. The alteration will include a new ramp, new accessible room doors, two accessible rooms, accessible public toilets, paint, new flooring, and new fixtures. The hardship is caused by a condition or set of conditions affecting the owner, which does not affect the owner. Staff recommends granting the request for waiver for vertical accessibility on the grounds of historical significance and technical invisibility.
Council members, any questions?
Was that a local or state designation of a historical?
It was state. Anytime that we have it where there's historical documentation, it will be from the state of Florida.
So if there's no questions, I move to accept to grant the waiver.
Ms. Meyer, would you be in agreement? Ms. Meyer, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line. I'm just give me one moment.
While you're doing that, let's see if we have any questions from the public, please. Anyone from the public with questions or comments? Hearing none, Ms. Meyer, we're back to you when you're ready for your question.
One moment. Mr. Martell, this is Justin Vogel, the commission's attorney. Could you please state the grounds upon which you're recommending that the waiver be granted?
Historic site.
Okay, thank you.
I believe you said I will second that. Okay.
Correct.
With no further issues and items to be discussed, are there any other further general comments from council members or the public?
Yes, this is Larry Schneider. I'm asking of staff, is it possible to download the application so one can have a hard copy prior to going online and actually working on filling it in?
No, it has to be done online. It's more of it's an online application. You have to do it online.
I realize that, but some clients are now asking, can we at least see what it is so we can get all this stuff together and then proceed with applying for it? Therefore, with that in mind, would like to recommend for consideration that you have the availability of a link to get the document so people can get what they need ahead of time. So once they proceed with applying for the application, they can do it in one piece versus piecemeal. That way they'll have all the information at one time. It just would be a benefit to the applicant to understand all the stuff that used to be. Again, we used to have it on as an individual piece of the PDF, and I just think it's very beneficial for the future. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll look at that, Larry. It's fine. It's fine. We'll look at it and see what we can do. Thank you. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions from the public?
I have a question, Steve Bernard, for item four. I understand that there were two votes for recommendation. But what's the next step? Is there going to be another hearing that we need to also attend?
At the commission's October meeting, it will take up each one of these waiver applications. This is Justin Vogel speaking, by the way. At that meeting, the commission will receive the input of the council, and then it will make an independent determination about what action to take with each application.
But it's not necessary for this Chip Sellers, but it's not necessary for you to attend the meeting unless
it's not
you.
Mandatory.
Yeah, you're more than welcome to go to the meeting.
Okay, so in other words, while the council voted for recommendation, it wasn't a full vote, but that full vote wasn't binding to begin with.
That's correct.
That is correct.
It's a recommendation.
Any other questions from the public?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bernard.
Thank you, guys.
Any other questions from the public? Anything else from our council members? Hearing
No, ma'am.
Thank you. Then it is 3:01, and we will call our meeting adjourned. Thank you all very much this afternoon for your participation. Have a good day.
Yep, you too.
Was Ms. Crow on?